No, I maybe it might be interpreted like that, the quote. I guess, he would have loved to have seen a play of hurling, but once David said he decided wanted to go down the soccer route, John kind of backed him 100%. And I just thought it was very interesting. I guess John always talked about growing up in Wexford. He's from Tecumseh, would have played with Our Lady's Ireland. He talked about the Wexford soccer scene in kind of the 70s and 80s, and his brother Jerry would have been kind of involved in the 60s. And he was familiar with it then in terms of a young guy kind of juggling different sports. You might play one during the summer, one during the winter. And then as time moved on, once he got to the 2000s, his son was in the same kind of predicament. And we kind of spoke about it as well with David, I guess. Maybe younger players nowadays kind of have to make a call a bit earlier. I mean, David, right up until 17, 18, was still kind of juggling all the different sports. I mean, just to quickly say, like, there was 1 month we actually looked into it in July 2007, where he basically, in that month, he was involved with the Cork Minor Footballers for a Munster football final 1 weekend. The following weekend, he was playing for a Cork City under 21 soccer team. And then the following Sunday, then he was playing for the Blackrock Intermediate Hurlers in a relegation playoff. So, right up until 17, 18, he was really still kind of juggling them all. And then once he made his decision, John's attitude would have been that he would have backed them kind of 100%. And the big thing about them all, I suppose, both are kind of obsessed with sport, Like David obviously made his name in soccer, and John's probably more closely identified with GAA, but like John would talk a lot to you about soccer, and he would have gone over to a lot of David's matches. And then similarly, David, even though he obviously been involved in the Premier League, he kind of keeps a close eye on a lot of kind of stuff to do with hurling, especially when John was in charge of Cork.
Yeah, so naturally enough, there is this Cork element to the book, given that's where David grew up. And as you mentioned, actually played a bit of hurling there. There's actually a great bit I was just reading about. He talks about his love for Joe Dean's yellow helmet in the early 2000s. That's a love I also shared when I was growing up and when I was little. So, but John has great memories of his time in Wexford here as well. He shares those in the book. He used to have a puck around with Ned Wheeler.
Yeah, that's kind of a very interesting thing in terms of the Wexford link. He has an unbelievable affiliation for the 1956 All-Ireland winning Wexford team, which is quite interesting considering that was just the year he was born. The family pub in Tecumseh, there was a large photograph behind the bar, and there was kind of about 9 or 10 photos inside in it of different sets from that 1956 game. And he said just as a child, he walked past that picture every day, and he was just enraptured by it. It is a very famous game. I mean, not just from a Western point of view, but I think in general, because of the whole Christy Ring links, the Art Foley save, I think it's kind of synonymous that a lot of people will be kind of familiar with that kind of stuff from growing up and kind of having followed hurling. And then obviously then he talked about, I suppose, like a young guy nowadays, you have such access to kind of media and you have such access to kind of superstars. Back then, obviously, there wasn't as much interaction. You probably didn't see as much, obviously, games when he was growing up. But basically, they had a family filling station next to the pub in Tecumseh, and Ned Wheeler was an oil truck driver, and he used to be delivering oil to them. Later, Phil Wilson used to be doing the same job. And basically, after they had filled the oil, as you said, the 400 litres of paraffin oil into the tank, his mother would be preparing a bit of food and a bit of tea, but there was kind of a 10-15 minute window, and Wheeler and Wilson would always just go for a puck run with him in the back garden. And it's kind of really, really nice kind of image that he kind of portrays, and how these guys have just kind of stood with him. And it was interesting then, because I was asking him about, when Wexford won the All-Ireland in 68, and he said he remembers it, and he remembers the cup being brought to their pub and all that. But even though he was 12 then, and you think that would be the team that would kind of stay with him, he said, no, it's the 1956 team has just stayed with him his whole life, and he can reel it off. And then he was very familiar with that Cork team as well. And then he subsequently joined the Bears and got in contact with some of the guys who lost to Wexford that day. So it's quite interesting, I think, the team that kind of left the deepest imprint on him in his childhood.
And you can almost say that the Wexford soccer element had an imprint on their lives as well. As you mentioned, there was, a bit of John. He talks a bit about how strong soccer is down here, especially back in those days before we had League of Ireland and that kind of stuff down here. And John's brother, Jerry, so that would be David's uncle, he helped set up Tecumseh Albion down here as well. So there is that real strong Wexford soccer link in the family too.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he talked about, initially he said like he kind of followed Leeds, but he said Jerry was kind of the bigger soccer fan, was bigger into it, kind of helped set up the team. Talks about how kind of, he played GAA during the summer and he played soccer during the winter. And then that was a kind of a natural thing for him because of the roots that he had in Wexford in terms of kind of juggling the sports. So when he got to Cork and UCC, it was just natural for him to try and do most of the sports. But there's kind of a nice stuff about Jerry, I suppose Jerry, who sadly passed away at the start of this year. When David started to make in soccer in England, Jerry just became one of his absolute biggest fans. John would be over at a lot of games. Jerry would be kind of checking the phone and be checking the team sheets or whatever. If there was a game on at 3 o'clock, if Hull or Sunderland were playing, and he'd ring John straight away, you know, saying, why is he, or, you know, it's great to see he's playing, or great to see, or why isn't he playing, and looking to see what the pre-match mood is and what the pre-match atmosphere is at the game. And John then talked about how the Millers pub in Tecumseh basically became like a mini Hull City fan club for a while, you know, when David was kind of doing well with them, playing the Premier League and getting to the FA Cup final in 2014. And then really, he thought the pride really came through when David kind of started to make a breakthrough with Ireland, particularly, I suppose, for the World Cup qualifying campaign of 2018. That kind of soccer tradition that Jerry was kind of big into, and David would send down kind of jerseys and stuff like that and got them framed and put behind the bar. So he said it was kind of a nice little thing that came, but he said definitely he reckoned, you know, Hull City, obviously not one of the biggest soccer clubs, but he said there was a corner of Wexford where probably their fortunes were being followed a bit closer than most.
That's it. The Tigers, they're really starting to grab hold of South Wexford here. You know, obviously there's John's great connection with Wexford has continued. You know, he's still doing a bit of work with St. Martin's, and there was the kind of up and down nature of his managerial charge back in the mid-2000s and that. Does John go into that, into the book? Does he give his thoughts on the kind of up and down nature of that?
Yeah, it was very interesting. You know, we did a good bit on that. I suppose, first of all, the circumstances, how it came about, that he essentially kind of put himself forward for it. He had had a bit of success with Kerry. He had had a good bit of success at club level in Cork. I suppose, look, a lot of people probably focus on, and we did talk about it, kind of the way it ended for him, you know, and he was quite disappointed. You know, he would have loved to have had a third year, and the kind of circumstances of it, you know, is something that, you know, he wasn't happy with. But I thought, and we did deal with that, but I thought it was interesting as well, just going into the 2 years. And I suppose when you look at it, you know, there wasn't tangible kind of trophies and success, but I think the biggest thing I found is that I came away from an appreciation of just how good Kilkenny were at that time. Not that I didn't know it anyway, you know, but it was just amazing how many times, from Wexford's point of view, that they managed to keep coming up against Kilkenny. Even like he talks about probably the greatest win that they had under his era was probably the 2007 All-Ireland quarterfinal against Tipperary. And I mean, that was just such a dramatic ending with the Damien Fitzhenry goal. After, initially, something that I hadn't realised, how initially that the free, when Barry Lambert had been fouled, had been out on the right corner. And then basically, I think Lambert was going to take it, and there was a bit of indiscipline in the tip defence, and next thing the ball has moved in, and he said just the whole Wexford team just kind of turns around and just shouts for Fitzhenry to come up. You know, it's really interesting, just, you know, what an iconic figure Fitzhenry was, you know, and in terms of his shot stopping and obviously the goals that he scored and all that. But then obviously, you know, that was a great win for Wexford, but then next thing, after losing the Let's Find Kilkenny, and next thing is to face Kilkenny again in the All-Ireland semi-final, you know. And it was just, you know, when I went back through it, that the games Wexford played at that time, and just the strength of that Kilkenny team, you know, they really were at their peak. And I think it's probably kind of hit home as well, maybe more recently, because when you see Limerick's success this year in 2021, the natural reference point a lot of people are making is Kilkenny 08, you know, that is, where do they compare? Like, as if that Kilkenny 08 team is the one that's kind of ranked high. So yeah, so look, didn't kind of get the success that he probably would have looked for. Disappointed with that, disappointed with the manner in which the third year that he didn't manage to get it. But the thing I found is that he can be a man that, you know, can be disappointed when something happens, but he doesn't have bitterness, you know. He just kind of moves on. He just kind of gets back involved in hurling management. I mean, I think he was Kerry manager a couple of years later, got involved with the Courcy Rovers club in Cork. Now he's back in Wexford, you know. He's been involved with St. Martin's the last couple of years. Like, his daughter Sarah lives in Wexford, so he's still kind of down there a lot. And he's just a man that I just find he kind of looks forward, you know, right? That's sporting chapter over, and then he just kind of looks to what the next one has to bring.
That's it, and fair play to him for that. And look, ultimately, it's a great story of two men who reached their peak in two different sports, getting to, as you say, Croke Park and Wembley Stadium, and you're basically getting two books for the price of one there. So that's Myler, A Family Memoir, and that's out there now. I think you can get it in all good bookshops and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. It should be available in places definitely for the next couple of days, places like Easton's Book Station and all that. And you can order it online as well. Omani Bookshop in Limerick is another one. But yeah, all the information is online. Yeah.
Great stuff. And just before we go, while we have you here, take off your author hat there and put on your GAA editor of the 42 hat, because obviously you've been trying to keep an eye on the different proposals for the new football championship that will be decided by Congress at the end of this month. So there's kind of three proposals being bandied about at the minute. If you can, try to sum those up for us.
Basically, the first one will basically involve redrawing the provincial boundaries, which is probably the most controversial one. And we would have four sections of eight with the beaten first-round teams moved into different provinces. This proposal has very little support and I can't see it coming in. The big one then is option B, which will basically see the provincial football championships played off on a round-robin basis in the early part of the year. And then the league would start. Then there would be a summer championship after that. And the summer championship, the format of summer championship would be dictated by the results of the league. So the top five sides in Division 1, the top three in Division 2 and the winners of Division 3 and 4 would advance into the Sam Maguire. And then the remaining teams in the bottom two tiers, that's Division 3 and 4, would enter a 14-team Tailteann Cup competition. If either of those don't get 60%, then delegates will have to decide, are we going to revert to one of the status quo options, which would basically be the old qualifier system as it was for Ireland quarterfinals, or are we going to revert to the Super 8s option? So Proposal A, I can't see that coming into being, you know, where you're going to have Wexford moved into Munster, for example, or, you know, Longford are going to get moved into Connacht or whatever. It doesn't need much support. But the big one really is, are we going to see option B? Is it going to get enough support for the 60% vote? That is the big question. And it is, there's a bit of doubt about whether it's going to get enough to get over the line at the moment.
Yeah, so B seems to be the one that's getting the coverage right now. So let's focus on a Division 4 county like ourselves at the start of the league section. So everybody will have a chance to progress to the Sam Maguire competition, but it's only the team that finishes top actually will go through, isn't that it? So if Wexford don't finish top of Division 4, then it's Tailteann Cup for us. Is that what B is proposing?
Exactly. That's it. Personally, I'd be very much in favour of this proposal. I mean, I just don't see what we have at the moment that is working at all. Like, the last two seasons have really hammered at home. Like, Leinster and Munster Championship, very little appeal at the moment. Look, you can say maybe some of the Connacht games, Mayo, Galway and Roscommon do, but I don't think that's enough for reasons. The biggest stumbling block is Ulster, obviously, because it is the one championship that is still working in what I think is a broken system. In terms of this proposal coming in, I mean, I would think it would be very energising for the players to have, let's say, if you're a Wexford footballer, that the seven Division 4 league games, you're not going to be starting them at the end of January. You're going to be playing them in a bit later on, a few months later on, in better weather. And then you obviously have something to progress to later on in the season. Then obviously, you know, if you're in Division 4, you're in Division 3 next year, and there is an actual kind of change to progress. There has been, I suppose, some kind of disquiet, the fact that teams 6, 7, 8 in Division 1, that will be the end of their season. My attitude would be like, you know, they'll have had seven games, they'll have had a chance to kind of put their foot forward and get one of the five places and offer for the Sam Maguire. I understand that there are a couple of flaws maybe in the system, but I definitely think it is a step in the right direction toward working towards something. I don't think we're going to rip up the script overnight in the GAA. And also getting consensus. I mean, this is, I'm telling you, Aidan, like what I would think. I mean, you might have a different idea of what football championship format you would like, and then we could get four different people on the line. They would have different ideas as well. Like, you know, So it is difficult to kind of find consensus, but I just think this season, the provincial football championship has been really kind of dispiriting, to be honest. Some of the games, I mean, we've been at some of the games in Munster, you know, you see Dublin kind of marching again to another pretty comfortable win in Leinster. Apart from a couple of the Ulster games, Armagh, Monaghan, Donegal, Derry, I didn't think the football championship had a lot to write home about. If we got to the All-Ireland stages, I appreciate it was difficult circumstances this year, but a congested season. And obviously there was kind of no backdoor format for teams to have another crack of it. But I definitely do think this is a step in the right direction. But there is a lot of resistance out there, particularly, I suppose, as we've seen some of the Ulster figures that have come out, that they're looking to protect their championship. That's their concern, is the fact that if the provincial championship is at the start of the season, the link will be lost the summer and that it will kind of lose its appeal. I still think Niall Morgan made a good point during the week when he said winning an Ulster championship in the spring would still mean a lot to players. And I think it could be a really, really good way to kick off the year and kind of get people interested straight away.
Yeah, so as you mentioned, Niall Morgan there, the GPA has come out and backed this B proposal. That's the one they want to see. So that's getting the support of inter-county players. But have we heard anything from club players yet? Because obviously this will have an impact on those two.
No, there hasn't been a kind of a formal response yet. I guess, I mean, my thinking would be that most club players, the fact that the split season has come in, that is something that appeals to them. And if you think about it, next year, this all has to be quite ironed out, but the provisional plans would be that the All-Ireland final will be on in July next year and the football final the start of August. You know, if you are a club player, you know, in Wexford, Cork or wherever, you're going to be able to start preparing for your championship. You know, it's going to start kicking in August. And I think the last couple of seasons, I suppose we've stumbled upon it because of the impacts of the pandemic. But I think it has proven to us, you know, that this is the way to go, and that there is more certainty for club players and there is more clarity, and that better for county players as well, that they can come back to the club setup and kind of have a proper crack of it. So I don't think that this new system will impinge on the split season model that I think is kind of pretty much here to stay now at this stage. It's going to be a long season for, you know, if clubs that get to the Leinster Club Championship, for example, that's not until December this year. That's just an unfortunate byproduct of the fact that we had to start a bit later this season. But in general, I think most of the focus in terms of these football championship proposals have been what the actual county players are thinking at the moment.
That's fair enough, yeah, because look, it is, club is obviously huge here in County Wexford. It's huge all around the country, and it is the main backbone of the association, so they have to be given their chance to have a say as well. But as you mentioned, it probably shouldn't impact that much on those guys, so hopefully we'll be able to see some sort of change made, because as you mentioned, the current proposals, the current situation just isn't working, especially for a county like ourselves. We want to progress, we want to play games against our own, you know, going out and getting hockeyed by Dublin every year isn't very fun. It isn't a way to progress, and hopefully some changes might come in. So the actual Congress is at the end of the month, but do you reckon that it might struggle to get this proposal B, is the one that everybody's kind of pulling for, it might still struggle to get the requisite support, do you reckon?
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, the GBA coming out during the week obviously is a bit of a boost for it, but there still has been no kind of maybe official push by Larry McCarthy, the GA president, one way or the other, or kind of GA director general Tom Ryan. You just see maybe if that changes over the next while. But if you think about, let's say, for example, you know, you think John Horan was kind of quite pushing towards the split season model during his presidency. Going back to the time of the Super 8s, Pádraig Duffy had really, really kind of pushed that, and that managed to get over the line. But at the moment, we've seen kind of, I suppose, Ulster Secretary Brian McAvoy has come out pretty strong this week articulating their views. I can't say for definite at this moment, but there is definitely doubt whether it's going to garner enough momentum and get over 60%. And after that, then it's going to be interesting to see then what do delegates want. What's the feeling then? Like, do we want to go back to the Super 8s? Do we want to go back to the qualifiers? I mean, people are saying that, you know, the local rivalries will be gone and all that. You know, I think teams and players will react to their team winning. Our team supporters, they'll react to their team winning. And if they get, see them get a bit of momentum, see them getting a couple of games. I mean, you know, you take your own county, Aidan. Like, I mean, I think of certain games involving Wexford footballers. I think Wexford beating Down and Armagh in 2008, being at those games, those experiences, like the atmosphere in the stadium. It's not exactly like Wexford and Down had a big football history to draw on, but it was just, you know, you'd won a big game and you'd seen your team win and they'd won it the previous round. So it just built up a bit of a couple of momentum. And I think that will naturally feed into itself. And I just also think the time of the year would be great for players. You know, like, imagine instead of Wexford playing kind of Division 4 league games starting at the end of January, you know, if the season started in April, May, and we were playing games of real consequence, and then it got to the final stages where there was a chance to get into the Sam Maguire race at the start of June, you know, I think that could be something really good and could really kind of energize the football championship for all the different stakeholders. But to answer your question, yeah, it's still in doubt. This day, 2 weeks, kind of, will be the one that will decide it. Maybe it would be interesting to see who comes out in favour or against it over the next while.